few verses. You see the verses up there. I don't have any slide. Every slide is going to have those verses. I'm just going to highlight a few of them as we talk through it. And a few verses that I just wanted to spend some time in over the last few weeks or a couple of months have been something that I've been thinking about, you know, for my life and for things that are very real and raw in many ways for me as I think about, you know, our life and what we go through in our lives and what our priorities are in lives. And, you know, the things that worry us and the things that trouble us and where our priorities are in our life. And that reflects, when I look at my life, in the types of prayer and in the things that I pray about and what really matters at the end of the day and what is really important for each one of us. And it's something that I've been reflecting on and just going to spend some time, spending some time through this verse. So if you can just turn to the next slide. So this is really what these verses say, and I'm going to read it. This is Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 to 14 is where I'm going to spend some time today. And it reads, "For this reason, we also, since the day we've heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time you've given us, O Lord, to gather here in the middle of this week, O Lord, to spend some time in thy word, O Lord. O Lord, as we think of our lives, O Lord, how often we have our priorities wrong. How often, O Lord, we seek after things of this world. O Lord, when we think, and as we are looking through this verse, think of all the things that you have done for us, O Lord. All that we have in Christ, O Lord. O Lord, we should be so happy. We should be so joyful. But instead, O Lord, our heart is in this world, O Lord. And we pray, O Lord, that you may strengthen us, O Lord, that we may focus on things of thee, O Lord. Focus on all that you have given us, O Lord, and all that you've achieved for us, O Lord. And help us, O Lord, as we spend some time through these verses, that you may speak to each one of us in our hearts, O Lord, that we may get our priorities right. That as we come into thy presence, O Lord, that we may ask for what is important and how you want us to live our lives, O Lord. We thank you, O Lord, for this precious time you've given us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So as we all know, just a quick introduction. This is a book that Paul wrote to the saints at Colossae and to the Colossians. And we know at this time he was in prison, probably chained in prison. We know that at this time Paul had not been to Colossae, and probably it was Epaphras, you know, who founded the church or set up the church in Colossae. We know that Colossae is one of three cities which were very close by, you know, Hierapolis and Laodicea, which is mentioned in Revelations, and Colossae. And we know that the environment in those days and the challenges that those church was facing was really around, you know, Gnosticism and, you know, superior knowledge, or that there's more, that just knowing Jesus is not enough, you need more than that, and all the heresy that creeps into the church. And as we think about our days that we are living in, you know, heresy doesn't just walk up to the door and say, "Can I come in?" I mean, it creeps into the church. And different other teachings, whether it is about legalism or whether it is about, you know, you don't have to follow any rules at all, or you don't have to follow anything at all, you know, whatever that extreme. And Paul writes this, and we know all that famous and the very powerful description of the supremacy of Christ, which we see from verse 15 onwards, to establish that Christ is all that you need. You know, all that you see here, everything that you know people might be telling you, whether it's legalism or other things that you need, Christ is all that you need here. And so we see that as the quick background here. And now when we look at this, we see a prayer of, you know, that Paul is saying that this is what he prays for them, right? He's sending a letter telling the saints there that this is what I am praying for you. And he talks about, and he writes about his prayer. And to me, as I thought about this prayer, you know, this was a prayer for Paul, for the saints in Colossae. But I thought about it, and I said to myself, as I looked at this, why shouldn't this be our prayers for ourselves, not just for other people, right? We should be praying this prayer for other people, but more importantly, praying it for our lives and for the things that we should be looking at and prioritizing in our lives. The first thing, as we see in this first verse here in verse 9, we see that Paul writes, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray." Right? We see the prayer mentioned here, and how, you know, here's a person who's never been to that city, right? He didn't establish the church there. Here's a person who is in chains, you know, limited, you know, bound up, but you can see his heart of prayer. You know, he says, do not cease to pray. And I think often, right, you know, we come here on Wednesdays and, you know, we hear about prayer matters. And I go back home and, you know, maybe that day and for that week we pray. But after that, we ask ourselves, do we cease to pray? I mean, do we move on to the next thing? How often are our prayers relentless? Right? And we see here Paul saying that he doesn't cease to pray. Cease to pray for all the saints there. And I think it's a reflection on our lives also. How often is it because we give up and we think, oh, you know, there's no hope or nothing's going to happen? Or is it a lot of, you know, do we really mean it when we say, you know, like many people come and ask us, can you pray for me? Or there's something that, I think we always often would say, oh, yes, I'll pray for you. Let's examine ourselves and see, how often do we carry through on that? You know, I have so many times felt guilty because I've said to people, oh, yeah, we'll pray. But I forget about it, right? Or I pray one day, I pray the second day, but, you know, I forget about it. Here's an example that we see from Paul's life here. And he talks about, you know, not ceasing to pray. And it was just a, you know, call out to me about not just the things that that we need and our wants, whether it's material or whether it's spiritual, but it's also about others and our commitment to pray for our fellow believers that we have here. So that's what we see here. We can see, you know, and it's just very interesting to see the life of Paul and his prayer life, right? So if you look at one reading from 1 Thessalonians, if someone gets it, they can read 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. It reads, "Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supplying what is lacking in your faith." Night and day, we pray most earnestly. I mean, look at all those words. Night and day, we pray, not earnestly, most earnestly, right? The heart of prayer and what we should have in our lives that we see here. Second thing, let's go to the next line. Okay. So one thing we understand is that, you know, when Paul writes that for this reason, we know what that reason was, right? Paul was commending them for their faith, their hope, and their love that the saints in that church have, you know, had. And that's, you know, as you see that is for this reason, you might be wondering what is that reason it was. And we see it in those verses previous to this, is for their faith and hope and love that, that the saints had there. And here we see in this verse, knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And I think to myself, you know, like, how many times do I pray in my prayer earnestly? You know, I say this always, oh, can we, I want to be in the center of your will and plan for our lives. How much earnestly are we praying that we understand, you know, that have the knowledge of his will And he says, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And it threw me off. I've read this verse many times, and I was wondering, okay, what does this mean? In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. From what I read, wisdom here is more the, you know, it's more the application. And when we see the spiritual understanding, it's more the appreciation of what the Lord expects from us. Wisdom is what will save us from foolish conduct. And spiritual understanding is what will save us from false teaching. How much do I pray and want to know the Lord, what is your will for me? Right? So, now, and the other thing that really caught me on this verse is that I think about our prayers, right? A lot of the times, our prayers are mostly broadly on these lines. Bless me, give me more, stay with me, be with me wherever I am. Keep me from any harm and pain. You know, broadly, you know, this is the things that we always capture. But you know, that's a real prayer in the Bible. Someone prayed that, right? This is the prayer of Jabez. You will see it in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9 to 10. And he's praying, oh Lord, bless me, give me more, stay with me, keep me from harm and pain. A lot of our prayers are really around that. And we can see that it expresses in many ways the spirit of the age that we live in, right? It's all about me, my material needs, and there's nothing wrong, right? We all have material needs. There's nothing wrong in those material needs. But, you know, it's really about understanding, having a full knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And we see, as we look at this, it says, knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. For what? So that I will become a famous preacher? So that I'll have a huge following? Or is it because so that I can become a very famous personality? What is it? Why do we need all this thing? Why do we need this wisdom? Why do we need to know his will for our lives in all wisdom and spiritual? Why? It goes, we see in verse 10. If you can move to the next slide. So that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Knowing His will, translating that into wisdom and our spiritual understanding will help us to walk worthy of the Lord. How many times are our prayers around this? That it is not, you know, I think a lot of it, if you think of our, you know, a lot of us are from the brethren background, you know, we have, head knowledge, or we have the knowledge theoretically of everything in the Bible, right? We know everything. But how much does that translate into the way that we walk and we live our lives? We talk a lot, and everything I'm talking about today is I'm talking about my life, right? We talk a lot, oh, we'll go and give out tracts and we'll do evangelism. How much is my life doing that evangelism? How much is my life pointing people to Christ? Or am I, you know, I go to church on Wednesday and I come here on Sunday and I have prayers in the morning and I have prayers in the evening. But apart from that, all my priorities are all over the place, right? And how do people see my life when we react to situation? Is my walk worthy of the Lord? And I think that's something that we need to reflect in our life. And so that's another thing that I saw here is, you know, it is for walking worthy of the Lord, not for any fame or, you know, becoming a leader or any of those kind of things that we, you know, as we think of our churches, of what we aspire to do. Let's go to the next one. Increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, we see this knowledge of God here. We saw in the verse that we read earlier, you know, in verse, where is that? Verse 9. Verse 9 says, knowledge of His will. And if you go a bit higher than that, if you go in verse 6, it says, and understood God's grace. Knowledge of God's grace, knowledge of God's will, knowledge of God Himself. Right? We see those things in this verse, starting with grace, understanding what is our situation. We are not here because of anything that we did or we achieved. Knowledge of God's grace, only because of God's grace. Once we understand that, we seek to understand, okay, so you've done all this for me. What is your will in my life? Once we start to get to understand that, we start to get a knowledge of God himself. Right? So we see that here. In the interest of time, I'm just going to go, you know, really, really quickly. And it says, knowledge of God strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Strengthened with all might, right? Think of it as a Christian. When we see that verse as it starts, strengthened with all might, like we're like, yes. And strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. You know, that word, when we think about his glorious power, the power that resurrected Jesus from the dead, that is the glorious power we're talking about, not any power that we see in this world. If I tell you, oh, you know, you're going to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, oh, yes, I want that. I really want that. Right? Who will say no to that? We will all say, yes, I want that. But why is it? It's not because, you know, again, like what we read earlier in the other verse, it's not that because I'll get a lot of fame or I'll be a very famous speaker and I will draw thousands of people, I will heal the sick, I will do miracles. No, it's not for that. It's not for that. We see for what? It says, for all patience and long-suffering, right? That we need to be strengthened. We need God's glorious power to be strengthened. Why? Jesus did not promise us that we're going to have prosperity and we're going to have a smooth life. In fact, he promised us the opposite, right? So what do we need? We need his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering. And I was looking at it and say, patience and long-suffering, what's the difference, right? Patience could mean, you know, the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Long-suffering could mean, you know, like how do we stay calm in the face of provocation? We face those kind of situations in our lives, and we know how difficult it is, whether it's because of our Christian faith, whether it's because of things that people that oppose us, whether it's because of circumstances. We can ask ourselves, each of us in our lives, and as I reflect in my life also, there are a lot of painful situations that each of us are going through. Many of it we talk out here and we bring it out for prayer matters, but you and I know there are so many things that are even more painful for us and even more challenging for us that we don't talk about it here. We know what we are going through, right? All of us, in some way or the other, have struggled, are struggling, or will struggle with challenges in our life. We need God's glorious power, right? And not only do I just endure it, what does it say? With joy, not just in suffering it, but with joy. That is what is expected of us. I think about myself. You know, a lot of you know that I have this huge problem of sleeping issues, right? Some days I just don't sleep. I sleep 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. And when I go through that kind of situation, obviously I am without any joy. But not only am I without any joy, I make sure anyone around me doesn't have any joy. Right? You know, we're irritable. Now, when you think about it, okay, I have a sleeping issue. But what is the root cause of that? It is worry. It is things of this world that I'm worried about. It's, you know, when we start worrying about that, I think to myself, like, I'm thinking that God is not in control of this situation, and I have to worry about it. How often, you know, do we look at this kind of things of saying, am I going through this kind of situations in our life, and how do I go through it? Do I go through that with joy? Let's go to the next. Giving thanks, right? So we have all these things mentioned there, but we also here have see that, you know, giving thanks, giving with a grateful spirit, giving thanks to the Father. Why? Why should we give thanks to the Father? I think we always have to be reminded. I read this as I was studying this. It was a good reminder for me, right? That there's so many reasons that we have to be giving thanks and we have to have a grateful attitude. What are those? Look at it. He qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in the light. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. He's conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We have redemption. He's redeemed us. He's forgiven us. Let's just think about that. He qualified us. We don't stand here on our merit, right? We know that hymn, I stand upon his merit. I know no other stand. not even where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. He qualified us. None of us are here because of our qualification. He qualified us. He delivered us. Once, just like the children of Israel were in the bondage in Egypt, we were in the bondage of sin. He's delivered us. He's conveyed us. We have an eternal kingdom to look forward to. You know, that word conveyed, you know, when in the old, when nations would attack each other, they would attack, they would conquer, they would take the people and bring them into their kingdom. That's what he's done for us. He took us from eternal damnation and carried us into his kingdom. He's conveyed us. He's redeemed us. He's redeemed us. We are all redeemed. But there was a price to be paid. When we're in that slave market of sin, Jesus was there. How much did he love us? How much did he, was he willing to pay? He shed his blood for us. He gave his all. He redeemed us at such a cost. There is nothing else that can convey how important we are. He redeemed us. And not only that, he redeemed us and he's forgiven us all our sins. He's wiped the slate clean. What does Psalm say about how he's forgiven us and our sins? He said, he's moved our sins as far as the east is from the west. He's washed it away. Think about that in our lives. Right? The things that we don't get something or something goes wrong in our lives, we are so worried. But how much are we so thankful for this, you know, qualifying us, delivered us, conveyed us, nothing's going to go wrong with that. We have it. It's not like things of this world. We clutch to it and we lose it. And we are disappointed. These are things that we should be grateful each and every day of. When we go through difficulties and situations in our life, may we remember that how much he's done for us, how much we should be grateful for, and how much we should you know, come into his presence with that grateful spirit. The last slide. You know, the other thing I'm amazed as I read through some of this, and this is something that I really did not catch earlier. You know, the way that Paul writes this, right? You know, it's like my son would come to me and say, Daddy, I want that. Right? They would say that because he knows that he can have it. Right? Look at how Paul writes and the words he used, right? There's no area for doubt. Or there's no area of, okay, give me a bit of this. No, it says, how should you be filled? That you may be filled. It's not that you have some knowledge of his will. You may be filled with the knowledge of his will. How much wisdom? All wisdom. I'm like thinking, okay, I could read this as knowledge of his will in wisdom and spiritual understanding. It sounds good to me. All wisdom and spiritual. Fully pleasing him. All might. Every good work, all patience and long-suffering. Look at all those words that are qualifying all the things that he's praying for. And I think to myself, are we confident? Do we come into his presence as children of this Almighty Father? And boldly ask that, Lord, let me understand thy will. Strengthen me that as I live my life may point people to thee. I may work worthy in everything. But many times we are not confident, right? I am not confident. Come like, oh Lord, help me. May I not do this? He wants us. He wants us to live. That's the victorious Christian life that we need to have. And as I reflected on this, these were 4 points that we see here. We see the spiritual insight. We see the worthy walk. We see the abundant power to help us live, you know, have the patience and love and long-suffering with joy, and we see the thankful spirit. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you, O Lord, for this precious time you've given us, O Lord, to gather here, to spend some time in thy word, O Lord. We see this prayer of Paul, O Lord, and we think, O Lord, many times our priorities are us are in the wrong place, O Lord. O Lord, when we think, O Lord, of all that you have achieved for us, all that you have done for us, all that we are inheritors of. You qualified us when we had no hope. We had no merit. You forgive our sins. You redeemed us. You gave us an eternal hope. All these things that can never be taken away from a child of God. But yet, O Lord, all these glorious things that you have done for us and the hope that you've given for us, yet, O Lord, we grapple and we try to get after things of this world that are temporal. O Lord, you desire for us to live a victorious Christian life, to point people through our lives to thee, O Lord. But yet, O Lord, we fall short many ways. We are focused on our material things. And we know, O Lord, that you take care of our material things. We know, O Lord, that you supply us. And there's so much to be thankful to. But yet, O Lord, help us to focus. Focus, O Lord, and ask, O Lord, that we may know thy will for our lives. That our walk may be worthy. Everything that we do may point to people to thee, O Lord. Help us, O Lord, to live and to prioritize our lives and to be confident, O Lord, in the hope that you've given us, that nothing happens in our life without you knowing. And that whatever happens to us, O Lord, you have an eternal plan for us. We have an eternal future that is secured, that no one can snatch. We may have disappointments, we may have problems in this world, but we have that eternal hope. And we thank you, O Lord, for all that you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for all that you teach us through thy word. In the most precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.